The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In John chapter 2, we find Jesus' first sign or first miracle when he turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana. It says many believed on him there. Who were the people that believed at the wedding? Is there a difference between a disciple and a believer? We're glad you joined us today here on Grace in Focus. Please stay tuned for the following discussion. Grace in Focus is a listener-supported ministry and brought to you by the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd like for you to know more about Grace Evangelical Society, and you can do so by going to our website, faithalone.org. You can also view our short videos on our YouTube channel, YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. They are produced two or three times per week, so we hope that you will watch them. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
We have a question from AM, and AM asks, in this beginning of miracles, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifest his glory and his disciples believed on him? John 2:11. Was that the moment the disciples were saved, or were they saved before that? If so, why? So AM is asking this because it looks like in chapter 1, we have Simon Peter mentioned, we have Andrew and Nathaniel. So I guess he's asking.
And they all came to faith in chapter 1.
Yeah, so why is he?
Why? And what does 2:11 say?
And 2:11 says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And Jesus just changed water into wine here.
Right. So the question is, AM's question is, was this when they were born again? Is this when they first believed in him? Or is this saying, okay, the people in chapter 1 already believed in him, so is this some kind of fresh belief in him or something?
Yeah.
So how do we take that? And, you know, my view is, and I read this in Zane Hodges and talked with Zane about this, and I think we can look it up in his commentary on John 1 through 6. But his view was that this is not likely to be the disciples from John chapter 1 who came to faith. Philip came to faith, Andrew came to faith, Peter came to faith, Nathaniel came to faith. He had more disciples than those, and it's likely this was a different group of disciples. And so I think you've got his commentary on John 1 through 6. It's called Faith in His Name. Could you read what he says about this, Zane Hodges?
Sure. What we learn in John 2:11 is this. The disciples who came to the wedding with Jesus had evidently not yet believed in him as the Christ. No doubt they regarded him as a rabbi of exceptional character and teaching skills. Even John the Baptist knew of Jesus' personal righteousness before identifying him as the Christ. But as much as they must have admired Jesus as a rabbi, these particular disciples were not yet believers.
All right, and does he go on to say a little more about that?
Yeah, well, I guess earlier he says that we do not know who the disciples were who attended this occasion with Jesus. And he goes on to describe that you might think those ones mentioned before attended, but there's no reason that we have to think that they did.
And didn't he say earlier that a disciple's a learner?
Yes, we do know, however, that it was possible to become a disciple of Jesus without believing in him. After all, the word disciple simply means a student or pupil. Respected rabbis in Israel might be expected to attract men who wish to learn from them.
Okay. So a learner, a pupil, someone who would be learning from a rabbi, and Jesus was called rabbi or teacher. I think it's probably fair to say, A.M., that these people who were involved, and we're not sure exactly who these were disciples of Jesus who had not yet come to faith. Of course, it'd be fair to say, look, Mike and Bob believe in Jesus today, or we're believing in him right now. But it sure sounds like in 2:11 that he's talking about people who came to faith. The beginning of signs Jesus did and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And by the way, John 20:31 links signs with believing in him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose statement of the book. Many other signs Jesus did in the presence of many witnesses. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So it makes sense that this is the first sign recorded in John's gospel, maybe the first sign he did. where he turns water into wine. And, of course, wine was a symbol of life, and he's turning water into wine, and this led some people to believe in him. And it would make sense that this was the first point at which they had believed in him. And, of course, John 3:16 talks about believing in him. And all the way through the book, it's either believing in him or believing in me. And so it would make sense that this is the point at which they're born again. Good question, A.M., but I would say his question was this fresh faith or was this?
Yeah, and I think it's just whether those three disciples mentioned in chapter one, are they coming to faith again or are they continuing faith? But then I guess there really is no reason to expect, well, if Jesus just met these people 3 days ago, now they're getting invited to a wedding. We don't invite people we just, you know, recently meet to weddings, right? So there's no reason to say, oh, these had to attend the wedding and that's when they came to faith. These are different people that are being talked about here.
Yeah, and Hodges has more of a discussion of this if you want to read Faith in His Name. He thinks probably what happened is Peter and Andrew and the unnamed disciple and Nathaniel all probably were not in this group that was traveling.
Right.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Interesting. Here in verse 11, it says, his disciples believed in him. So is there a difference between a disciple and a believer? Or can you be an unbelieving disciple? Because these disciples needed to believe in him.
Yeah, we hear all those questions a lot where people are questioning, is a disciple the same thing as a believer?
Right.
And if someone stops being a disciple, does that mean they stop being a believer and that sort
or
of thing?
To be a disciple, you must follow Jesus. Therefore, you know, you cannot have everlasting life unless you follow Jesus.
Okay, well, there's a number of things going on here. And yeah, Mike, we could talk about this issue. If you look at John 6, starting in around verse 64, Jesus said, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. But it's interesting, in verses 61 and following, some of those who were following him stopped following him. They had not believed from the beginning. But others among them had. If you look at John 6:66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Hodges makes the point there's a difference between some and many. Some didn't believe, but many stopped following.
And many is more than some.
Hodges said the implication is there. Mm-hmm. You had some born-again people who stopped following Jesus, but some of the people who stopped following him never believed in the first place. Of course, we know that Judas never believed in Jesus. In John 13, verse 10, you were clean, but not all of you, and he was talking about Judas. Judas had never had the washing of regeneration, Titus 3:5. So Judas was an example of a disciple, actually one of the inner core of 12, who never believed in him. And among the larger group of disciples Jesus had, there were others who didn't believe in him. But some of those who did believe in him stopped following him. And that occurs today as well, right? We have people who are involved in discipleship, who are learning more and more about Christ, and yet stop following him. That doesn't mean they're not born again. It doesn't mean they lost their salvation. What it means is they've lost their way, and they're no longer following Christ. And by the way, I think it's important to mention, Mike, that we don't find the term disciple or discipleship anywhere in the epistles. Did you know that?
Hmm.
Not in Paul's writings, not in Peter's writings, not in James' writings, not in John's writings. In none of the epistles do we have the concept of a, well, I take it back.
Not
we
the
have
term.
The concept, but not the term.
Term.
Now, Paul does say, follow me as I follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1, or imitate me as I imitate Christ, which is basically the idea of following. But the term disciple does not actually occur. And I think the reason is, and this is just a guess, there's lots of articles, you can go online and look it up, why doesn't the term disciple appear in the epistles? One of the reasons is because the disciples of Jesus literally followed him.
Mm-hmm.
They would follow him around from place to place. And we don't do that. We don't literally follow Jesus around because he's not here to literally follow around. So that may be one of the reasons we don't find that.
What you're not suggesting is that we're not to follow Jesus in his commandments, right?
We are to follow him in his commandments, but it's not quite the same as literally being in his presence.
Yeah, going him place to place, hearing him right here in our presence physically, right?
Right. But there is a distinction, and I think this is what you're getting at, Mike, here, that AM touches on. There's a distinction between discipleship and salvation, or between justification and sanctification. Two things. Number one, a person can be a disciple of Jesus and not born again even today. Say, for example, someone comes to your Bible study or they come to your Sunday school class. Does that mean they're born again? Of course not. But does that mean that they're a disciple of Jesus? It sure does, because they're wanting to learn about Jesus. If you've got some sort of Bible study on the college campus, it doesn't prove the person is born again. It proves they're interested in learning more about Jesus.
They're a learner. That doesn't always automatically mean they're a believer.
Right. If a person is a believer, that doesn't necessarily mean they're in discipleship.
Sure.
A person could be a believer and not go to Bible study, not even go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that shouldn't happen, of course, but sometimes a believer follows Christ for a time and then falls away and stops going to church, stops going to Bible study, stops reading the Bible. They stop being a follower, but they're still born again. So disciple does not equal believer, and believer does not equal disciple. An unbeliever can be a disciple. A believer may be a non-disciple.
And if you start to confuse those two, you'll misunderstand the New Testament.
And you'll misunderstand the promise of everlasting life, probably, because what you will do is you will think only those who are active disciples of Jesus keep their salvation. No, that's not right. Salvation is not to those who follow Jesus. To be born again, we must be a believer. John 3:16 doesn't talk about followers, it talks about believers. Whoever believes in him, it's not whoever follows him, it's not whoever behaves in him, it's obedient to him, it's whoever believes in him. So let's keep that distinct, and that's important for us to keep
grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, once a believer, can you go back to unbelief? Please join us again, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.